Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
The people that the Israelites that was with Moses.
And when he tells them to remember your God, that I am the great I am, he's also telling us in his word that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels will stand fast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? The salvation of God keeps you out of hell, of course. But see, God wants you to come to him out of love. He wants you to come to him in reverence towards his true existence, not his phony existence, not to get up on Sunday morning, everybody looks nice, so I'm going to make sure that little stain off your mouth because you just got to eat a little Billy and get in the car, honey, did you forget the dog? Let me run back in, feed the dog, and then go out and go to church and then come back, and, you know, that's it. And some people, the distraction to some is that a lot of people are morally decent people in America. So when people say, well, you know, I'm a good person, I don't do anything to anybody, but we do go to church on Sundays, and we do do this, and we do pray. Okay, that's fine. We need to think about this. If the Bible is telling us not to neglect this salvation, what does it mean? Does it mean to go to church on Sundays, punch in your clock, or punch your ticket in, and maybe do your good deed throughout the week and everything's fine? Or does it mean something much more? And we're going to look at that in God's Word today. God has talked a great deal about false prophets in the last days, and people coming to set before themselves a preacher who will give them what they want. There's a saying when I was in the army, I used to joke, give the people what they want. And I'm pretty sure some entertainers will come to that, or politicians will come to that gesture. Of course, we got some phony politicians as well. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience share with the hot iron. Okay, so these people set before them preachers that will give them the word of whatever they want to hear. And we have a lot of that going on in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, things have not changed at all. Things have not changed, my friend, at all. Things are still the same as they used to be. And we have a lot of, like I was reading the book of Samuel. And what was funny about the book of Samuel is that Eli's sons were bringing damnation to themselves by defiling God's temple and defiling the things that were in the temple, so he would set up a basin of animal and for sacrifice, and when the sacrifice was going, they would go in there and eat off the sacrifice, which was something that they should not be doing, but the Bible did say that the priest should get first dibs, but in this case, God did not want that to happen. When we read, in Ezekiel 13, it says, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of Man, prophesying against the prophets of Israel. And remember, Israel can be substituted by anybody. Man will not change. Man, the very man that God died for in the garden, which is Adam, has translated down to us. Well, anyway, let's start back over. It says, in the word of the Lord, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of Man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their my own heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Now, I kind of stumbled there because my cat was under the table, and he has a way of irritating me sometimes. He loves his daddy, but he has a way of irritating me, so I kind of jumped off. But it says, O Israel, the prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up unto the grapes of the gaps, neither made up the hinges for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divinations, the prophets, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, I have not spoken. Now, I was reading the Old Testament, King James, and it gets kind of bumpy-tongued for a second. Now, God, he goes on in verse 8, says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies, that shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Okay, so we've seen that we have to be able to go into that word daily. Now, it also talks about neglecting so great of a salvation. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, now, Hebrews is talking about a lot of times about the sacrifices, but we must honor God and give our sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about the sacrifice, offering your body as a sacrifice holy unto God. Now, the reason why I wrote, I went to Timothy and I came to Ezekiel, is to show that there is a process that we must watch out for. And one of the processes that we must watch out for is false teaching. Now, there are many things we have to watch out for in our Christian walk. Laziness is one. Laziness can be a thing that we need to watch out for, because laziness causes us, like if you're a football player, it will cause you to slumber. It will cause you to sleep. If you're an entrepreneur, it will cause you to slumber and sleep. How many other entrepreneurs have you seen that was lazy? If you were a doctor or you're going to be a doctor, it will cause you to slumber and sleep. Do you know that being saved, it does not take any work to be saved, but it does take what is called commitment. We have to be committed to be saved. If we're not committed, it can knock us off balance big time, and we will be very much not understanding why things are happening to us. But we have to stay away from the false teachings. because it's all false teachings. What they do is, if it's like a person, if you're in the Navy, if any Navy people out there who are when you're in your ship, and if you go off course just a little bit, you can end up in the wrong place. And it says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we want to be aware of that. Now, the true God, the Savior of the universe, will come down and commune with you as an individual. And God talked to the people, he talked to Jeremiah. He said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. See, a lot of people believe that God is, okay, he's created a rock that he can't lift. A lot of people believe that God cannot, and I think we have to see this first, that God is omnipresent, and he's omnipotent, and he's omnipotent, and God knows everything, but God also lives outside of time. He lives in another dimension, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit is, it's almost impossible to explain, but we see through the glass dimly. But the Holy Spirit can resonate in every believer, and it's not 25 million gods, it's one person. And the awesome thing about it is this one God can work in each individual's lives according to the Word of God on a day-to-day basis. And that Word of God, well, if you read your Word of God, once I say yes, because a lot of us having trouble reading our Word of God because it's part of enemy territory, and I never hear anybody preach that. The devil can keep you away from your Bible, and he's won half the battle. If he can have you thinking that your preacher is enough, but preaching is enough. Now, you know what I think people should do? I think people should say, okay, I think somebody should be smart enough to stand up and say, I'm going to create a new diet. It's called the Bible diet. You say, what do you mean? Well, here it is. God went up to the mountain with Satan to be tempted. And he said to Satan, we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So therefore, this is what my diet is. Do not eat anything except on Sundays, just like you do at church, you know. And then you and everybody else will be skinny. As a matter of fact, you'll be too darn skinny to even walk. Emphasis is mine. I'm just joking. But it does have a point. Because if you think you're going to function as a Christian, you got another thought coming, brothers and sisters, and a future brothers and sisters. You can't function as a Christian by eating a little Bible. Because you will be skinny. You don't need no Weight Watchers. You don't need no nutrition system. You don't need anything. Just treat food the way we treat the Bible, and we'll be sick, spiritually sick. And see, the awesome thing about the whole thing, what mesmerized my mind, is that we as unsaved people live in darkness, supposedly. I'm saying it as before Jesus came. We live in darkness, even when there is light, physical light. And see, the transparency is that there is physical light in the world. As we walk outside, we are missing the spiritual light of the world because not everybody's doing it. It's not famous. It's not popular. So when people are out at the beach getting, the nice beaches, 90-degree heat, and they're just enjoying themselves on the beach, and they got the light, the sun is out, and the light of the world is out. The real light of the physical light of the world, I'm just going to say physical light of the world is out, and everybody's having a good time. We miss the point of life itself. It's that sin is, and to live in sin is what causes us to go to hell, right? So if we live in sin, we go to hell because we do not accept Jesus Christ, right? So we deny the Spirit of God's work in our lives to draw us to Jesus Christ. Because remember, he says, if I be lifted up, I'll be draw all that to myself. So But that being said, if God does not, lift His Son up, then we will miss that light of the world. So, there is such thing as false conversions, where the wrong thing is lifted up. Okay, so I kind of got off point right there, but what we have to do in order to be right with God is to just give our lives and commit our lives to Jesus Christ, and then that way we'll be saved. But a lot of people are committing themselves to different things. Now, the reason why I mention the light of the physical light of the world is because under the sun, there is it's agony and toil, but it's also, happiness and success. The Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. So life itself, believe it or not, if you lived in sin, not everybody who lives in sin is having a miserable life. Matter of fact, the rich people, like the one guy, the rich guy, Lazarus, the tricky part of salvation, the tricky part of this kingdom of God thing, and coming to God and living for God, the tricky part is it's not painful. So how do you know you're in prison? Okay, because there is people who are in prison of the mind, their prisons, and their sins. The Bible says so. So how is it? And I'm just making a point. I'm saying a point. So let's take two people. So we're gonna use the light and the dark. So we're gonna use the spiritual lightness, and we're gonna use the person that's walking in darkness, and then we're gonna also use the person who is in prison physically and in prison spiritually. Now, right around the block from my house, there is a prison. So, Airway Heights Prison. And please don't come beat me up or anything, because I can fight. No, I'm just joking. Well, it's getting like that these days. You're even coming up to the Christians pretty soon. But anyway, to be in the prison of your physical prison, everybody in the world can tell you're in physical prison. But when you're in spiritual prison, nobody knows that you are in a prison. Because the same thing with being in the physical light of the world and being in the world system, it's not hard to be in the world system and still be going to hell and living in darkness, because living in darkness is not necessarily hard. It's not necessarily painful. Being in sin, the Bible says sin lasts for a season. Now, not everyone walking down the United States especially is living a horrible life. Matter of fact, we consider the poor of us is considered blessed compared to the poor third nations. So what we have to establish and understand is that sin in itself is not, so you don't have to go out and kill somebody to be in sin. You just have a thought. Look at the Valley Girls. What's up, man? You know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. I mean, these guys, we think that the young kid that's stealing his mama's car and doing all of this stuff and doing all that stuff, or some pimp that's on down some Las Vegas Strip is the one doing the sin, but you don't have to necessarily, you just deny Christ. That's the only thing you need to do is live in sin. It took me all that time just to tell you that. But the person who is living in the prison, sometime when you're at your lowest point of life, it is important in that point of life, because that's when you might find Jesus. And then there is the people who have everything going right for them, but God was in a storm, so they would understand that, hey, I am not right with God. Now, think about a rich person sometimes. Not all rich people live a happy life. Because sometimes when you get rich, like, look at those lottery winners. They get all that money, and what happens? They get sad. Have you seen those lottery specials? I watched those lottery specials, and a lot of those people who win the lottery is just sad, miserable. And a lot of them happy. And that goes back to my point that not everyone who is living in sin is living a life of violence or a life of misery. There's a lot of people, as a matter of fact, the people that is living in this world are sometimes happier than some of the Christians. So the point I'm trying to make is we must move out of the mirage of comfort, thinking that everyone that gain is a form of godliness, or thinking that being happy is a form of godliness, or thinking that you are living a life of pleasures and have all these girlfriends or have all these boyfriends, or these guys call up my house and I got all these clothes and I got all this and I got all that. I'm fly, I'm smooth, I'm looking good, look at my body, you know. But you're still later going to get miserable enough to find your boyfriend. Probably, hopefully you don't find the one that's going to beat you upside your head. Because that's how it always works. The nicest girls, prettiest girls get hoodwinked by the family and friends, not really meaning well, ended up being with some dude that's going to beat them up. You know? This world's weird. And then you take a nice guy, and there's some hoochie mama man, get it with a nice guy, want to run him all around like a doggone dirty rag. That's life, man. I mean, that's just life. But what I'm trying to get to, and this seems like I'm all over the place, but what I'm trying to get to is that on this program, I'm trying to let y'all know that I started off by saying that we should not neglect this salvation. To see the things of this world will help you to neglect your salvation, because not only you can jump in the car and take your family to the beach, and then on Monday you could go fishing with your buddy, and then on Tuesday you're doing this, and on Wednesday you're doing that, and then I got class on Thursday, and I got you're so busy you can't even do nothing for yourself. And then what makes it so easy is when I took up the reading Ezekiel 13, is when the false prophets come in and prophesy, oh, come to the front of the church. I got a word from you. I think God has got a word. And I'm not poking fun of nobody, because God really truly has words of people. But the thing is, what kind of word are you getting? The Bible says that history repeats itself. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Emphasis is mine, but the Bible says that the things that are shall be. So there's nothing new under the sun. So the devil, when you get your life so busy, and when your life is so manifest with the things of this world, you have to remember that people that are going to hell does not necessarily have to be someone carrying a 40 ounce or carrying some drugs. It can be just some simple person. And the Bible says, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But salvation can be neglected by worldly living. By living under that physical light, which is the sun. Every day the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the sun maneuvers around the planet, and we wonder, whoa, what amazement. But your life is going on daily as that sun rotates and the moon rotates and the stars are rotating around each other, and you have no idea that the earth is receiving people in hell daily. It says, hell has enlarged itself. It's getting bigger, folks. But what did Paul say? He says, I die daily. What does he mean by that? He dies daily. That means that he is willing to commit his life to Jesus Christ, and every day is a new and fresh anointing to die daily towards the cares of this life. Now, I'm not saying you can't take your family to the beach, and I'm not saying you can't go bowling on Tuesday, you can't go to college. I'm not saying that. But God says that all things are, Paul says all things are lawful for me. But I don't put myself under subjection to all things. I'm careful. I do not neglect my salvation. You need to take care of your salvation. I need to take care of my salvation. Everybody needs to take care of their salvation. And the reason why I brought up the false prophets, and I read the false prophets, is that people who are bound to get caught up in this world's devices tend to sway towards listening to false prophets more than the person who is taking care of this salvation. See, when you're in Hebrews chapter 2 in life, that's just equated to life. When you're in Hebrews chapter 2 and you're equating it to life, you are practicing the Word of God. Now, it's like a coach saying, do not neglect the playbook. Do not neglect discipline. Do not neglect teamwork. Do not neglect my commandments. See, God is telling us, yeah, people say, well, is God asking us to obey the Ten Commandments? Yeah. How is it that we cannot, and I'm talking to myself too, it says, you should have no other God before you. So God should be number one. If you're really a true Christian, and if you really are working in the power of the Holy Ghost, spoken up in Romans chapter 8, you will not have these problems. Cheating on your wife. But the thing is, all of that stuff is amazing to me, and Jesus was the one who pointed it out, is that the things that are in the Ten Commandments, Jesus had pointed out, can be in the mind. And see, the war is in the mind. What did it say in Ephesians chapter 6? He says, we fight not against flesh and blood, against flesh and blood and powers. So we're fighting a war against demons, the devil and his demons. The devil is not omnipresent, so he can't be in many places at one time. But the devil can send out delegations. So remember, God is the creator of delegation. You know that Satan has a copy. So, in other words, we are to... the Bible says, cast not imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when we read in the Bible, it says our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty. Of course, to put it down the straw, when we read God's word daily, which I talked about earlier, when we read God's word daily, we are fed that power, but we also are fed the life of God, and it's just rebred into us, regenerated into us, so we can know what messages are coming in and what messages are coming out, because the messages that are coming out into your life ports from the enemy are messages of just normality, of just the normal things of life. It is not biblical. Sometimes, it is biblical because he's going to twist the Bible. But a lot of times, the devil, that's one thing the devil can do, is he can go outside of the Word of God and delude you. Because your wife is going to come and she's not going to do this. Your husband is cheating on you. Or your sister is doing this. Or this lady's gossiping about you. That is not in the Bible. See, the devil can use, he's a prince of the power of the air, so he can use anything in this world to delude you. He has many tricks. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, do not neglect such a great salvation. It's telling you that. So when you are, you never have a show without giving a remedy. And the remedy is Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus sent the disciples on their way and on the ocean, in the lake, whatever it was, on the sea, and he came back later, he was walking on the water, And Peter said, bid me to come to you. You can take that whole scripture, of course, line upon line, precept upon precept. You have to use the whole word of God. But you can, if you had nothing else, you can use that one scripture to understand that your eyes have to be on Jesus Christ. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus, folks. And see, the neglecting of salvation does not come until you take your eyes off Jesus. Everybody thinks you take your eyes off the church. Oh, you take your eyes off Brother So-and-so. You take your eyes off ceremonial practices of punching tickets and getting a little sorry and forehead and saying, look at me, I'm singing the choir. That's not what God's asking you to do, folks. He asks you to put your eyes on Jesus. And see, we have to be free of this worldliness. We have to be free of the world in general. We have to be free. Now, I'm not saying he takes us out of the world, but we have to be free of the world in general in our system, because you could be an old lady sitting in the house who can barely walk and have the world in your system. And then you can take another older lady who knows how to say, both ladies in the old folks home, who love the Lord, who's saying, I'm a Christian, I'm blood, and when I die from here, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to see my Lord Jesus Christ. So you can take both these ladies, and you can look at the lady that has so much reward in her, but they come and get a van and take her to church, but praise God, she's going to church. That's not my point. My point is that worldliness, one of the devil's devices to load you with heavy weights that you cannot move and do the things that you need to do. There are young folks out there right now, folks, who are weighed down with the cares of this life, The Bible gives parables of seeds that are growing upon the land, and if Jesus says some fell on this land, some fell on that land, but there was one that fell on the land, and the seeds grew up with the thorns, and the thorns choked the word out of the person. It was the cares of this life. It does not necessarily, what I've been saying the whole time, it does not necessarily have to be drugs and alcohol. Everybody always thinking the bad person is going, well, Lindsay Lohan is going to hell. Lindsay Lohan might be, she hasn't. If she done died of an airplane crash when he got through, 27 years old, everybody got to go to 27. Devil loves to make a bargain with somebody. Why can't we just understand that when you walk like a duck, act like a duck, quack like a duck, you're a duck. If you're in this world and you're acting like the world, you're watching this thing. Now, I watch football. I love me some football. But there is a balance. There is shows that I can watch, but then I'll turn it off. Am I holier than thou? No. I know my limits. All things are lawful for me, but I'm not going to sit there and watch this crazy, stupid movie that just came out in Hollywood who blasphemes God every 2 seconds. Is that the way to honor my God? I don't care if you're the paganist pagan in the world. You can't tell me that's the way I'm going to honor my God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I'm going to honor my God. What you do, that's what you do. If you walk like a duck, act like a duck, quack like a duck, you're a quack. You're a duck. That's what you are. You are a literal duck. If you want to walk like this world, talk like this world, act like this world, you're in the world. When Jesus comes back and says, Roger, come up here, you're going to be so happy he can't lift you. That's the only person he can't lift. It's someone who is dirty with the sins and the cares of his life. He ain't going to lift you. He can, but he ain't. You see, everybody thinks that they got to make it in the rapture. Well, I can't wait to the rapture come, blah, 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 blah. And this is my thing, because we have to examine ourselves daily. We have to take care of that salvation, Hebrews 2. We have to take care of that salvation. We have to live a life of careful living. It's not like God is going to come down and strike you with some lightning. But if you live it in the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to worry about. There are men and women out there right now suffering from pornography, from addictions, from drug addictions. There are Christians who are probably slipping apart painkillers because they don't have enough faith in God. But see, God is merciful. He'll take you, and he'll say, I'm going to heal you. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, folks. The Son will set you free. And then I'll step on my own toes. This hypocrisy of marriage and people arguing with their wives and their spouses for no apparent reason. You figure that stuff out, you have to say, what in the world am I arguing with my wife for? Or my husband for? This is stupid. Some of the dumbest reasons we argue with our spouse is crazy. Now, we can argue. I was watching The Thief in the Night yesterday, and this is the first one, and the husband, the wife was saved, but she had to get her point across to the husband, and you could say she was arguing, but I'm not saying all arguments is bad, but a lot of that strife is ridiculous. And I'm stepping on my own toes because the Lord has freed me. Every time he moves into a season, he's going to free me or break me from something, he has me talk about it. So were you talking about it before you broke? I'm already done with it. I don't like arguing with nobody. But I can state my point, as you can see me talking on this radio program. But the thing is that a strife is not good, folks. It's not good for your kids. It's not good for anything. Alcohol, that's not good. No matter how you shake it, alcohol is not good, folks. Would you go to work on a job interview drunk? Well, I just can put enough peppermint in my mouth. He should smell a thing. Oh, wonderful interview, Mrs. Jones. Oh, you were great. I just like this, and I may have to date you one day. You know, I'm just telling you. That's how bad that is. That's how bad it is in the world today. And jobs, they got the husband sending his wife to work, and she going out because he's stupid enough not to treat her with dignity and honor. Got her slaving over a hot pot. And not telling it thank you for anything. Yeah, you're going to probably get that in the world. Say, are you condoning cheating? No, I ain't say that. I just said that's you reap what you sow. That's how life is, folks. And that's a scary thing about life. You reap what you sow. Now, go on. Let me go back to let me go back and tie all this together. When I first started off, I was talking about neglecting your salvation. Make sure your salvation goes strong. And then I went off to read about people in First Timothy talking about people going after seducing spirits and doctors of devils. And then I read in Ezekiel 13 about the prophets, and it seemed like I was dyslexic when I was reading it. But anyway, tied it all together. We must understand one thing. That the word of God is supreme. Above the person of God, of course, is supreme, but it says in the word of God that in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. So when you're reading the Bible, it's God's illustration of his life and coming to this earth. When we're reading the word of God, we're reading Jesus Christ and his person. So, when we are reading that word, the reason why I read about the false prophets and going after strange things, and I can read a lot more, and that's what I'm probably going to do the remainder of the show, is that we have to babysit. It's like if you had a child, you did not, a newborn baby, we had a 6 month, me and my wife have a 6 month old baby, 7 month old baby now, and we have to look at her. You know, on a daily basis, we have to, my 2 year old kid, and even my older son, we just took him to the dermatology, and you know, we found out what's wrong, and these are kids, so you got to look at your kids, you got to watch after your kids, and you have to do this, and even cutting the grass, or fixing automobiles, you know, our brakes are squealing right now, we just had our brakes replaced. I mean, the things of this life can be applied to Christianity. What are you eating? Are you allergic to something? I mean, are you? We carefully look at these things. My wife works as a nursing assistant. So she goes to the hospital, and she's going for a nursing degree. But she goes and she knows the rhythm. She knows what's going on. She's been doing it for so long that you cannot neglect the rules. And as far as and let's even acquaint it to work. So at her work, yeah. So in the military, when I was in the military, you have to abide by the rules and regulations. So there's a practical, physical element to abiding by the rules and regulations of sowing and reaping is that if you put too much pressure on something, it might collapse. So those are the normal reactions and the natural that is reacting on itself. So if you put something too many bricks on top of something that you need, that it cannot hold, it's going to collapse. Or if you had a garden and you're trying to set a garden out, you put some, seed, and you got to water it, and you got to do this. So you have to work for these things. Now, are you working? A lot of it has to do with excitement. So, for instance, if you like bowling, okay, you're gonna learn how to bowl. You're gonna get the best ball for the bowling. You're gonna get the best shoes. If you're excited about singing, you're gonna have the best teachers. You're gonna have the best this or that. So you're excited. You're committed to what's going on. Well, as far as Christianity is concerned, we must be committed to Christ. But we must understand that Christ is a real person. And he is in our lives. See, a lot of people think distance. They think God is over here, and I'm over here. But the only time God comes down is when I pray. No, God is there all the time. I've been in 4 car wrecks that came out without a stretch. Now, am I bragging? No, because I had an auntie that passed away just recently, about a year and a half ago. And that's not good, folks. That's not good at all. So I'm just saying how blessed I am to have come out of that. And it brings sorrow to my heart to understand that people are dying across America every day in accidents. But anyway, God wants us. We don't work for salvation, but we work. It's like a husband and wife. You marry, you got married. The wife says, show me your love through your work, and I'll show you my work. I'm just being facetious. But God, when you become born again, you get so excited that the work will manifest out. The love for Jesus will manifest out. It's not that we think we owe him something, but at the same time, we kind of look at the cross instead of looking at, a debt that we could. The Bible says we can't pay that debt. We cannot pay the debt, folks. So if we think we're gonna pay that debt, we're gonna be miserable. Okay, we're gonna be very miserable if we think we're gonna pay that debt, because we're not gonna pay that debt. God loves y'all out there. I mean, He wants y'all to understand though that we have to read the Bible. Don't count on no pastor to read the Bible for y'all. Go to the store. Go to the dollar store, get you a CD player for all you cool dudes or cool gals. Put that CD player, the Bible in your truck or your car, and play it. You can get that for $1, the whole New Testament. Get you a couple of Old Testament CDs, and just collect them. And listen to the Bible, for yourself. I mean, they say, well, listen, I don't have to read it all. But if you really think about it, the printing presses just came out in the 1800s. So they used to go to the synagogue and have the Bible read to them. People used to spend days in the synagogue and have the Bible read to them. The Bible didn't come out on print until just recently. So don't sell yourself short. Don't wait till no preacher. Most of those guys sing in harmony. Praise God, a lot of those guys said they need to be preaching to y'all the very thing I'm preaching to y'all, to go take that Bible home and read it. When you neglect the word of God, you neglect Jesus. Jesus can guide you by the word of God. He cannot do anything other than what you got sown in you from the word of God. He ain't like the devil. See, the devil could tell you, your wife ain't, oh, you need to do this. All right, that girl over there, she's looking at you. Go talk to her. And he could tell you the stuff that's not even, I mean, it doesn't come from anywhere. It's just nature. I mean, it's just normality of life. See, God will talk to you through his word, and the devil knows that. That's why the devil, when you're sitting down there reading your Bible, and you're okay, and you're not thinking about anything, until you sit down there to, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, everybody sleep. Wife try to read her Bible, and all of a sudden, some message come to her, oh, I got to go change the laundry. Now, we got a big ceiling in our house. It's a huge ceiling, and it's up to the, you know, pretty, like, 20 feet up, something like that. But anyway, I always think about, and I know people say that the devil's not there behind every corner, but I always think of two demons sitting outside of my house eating popcorn, just trying to figure out how they can get, you know, something brewing or, you know. But see, the Bible has taught me, and I'm not bragging or nothing, because the minute you brag, the minute you turn around, you'll kick your tail again. So I say this with asking God for grace, but when he taught me this one thing, because I had addictions to sexual sins, I had addictions to a lot of things, alcohol, and what I was talking about earlier, and it says in the Word of God that we should, you know, the Word of God, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. They are mighty towards pulling down strongholds. And see, the strongholds in our life is what we were talking about earlier about the garden being the Satan's garden these days is filled with everything. It's just not that one tree. See, everybody thinks that it's that one tree. Now it's sin. Now it's sin that's got us. They already did that disobedience thousands of years ago. Now it's sin. Now, sin can come masquerading. The devil has many things to offer people. I mean, he got crocheting. And I start off with the weakest one because it's kind of funny. But he's got bingo. If your grandma played bingo, he's got, I got over here, I got cooking. I got over here, I got, you know, selling and boating. I got, you know, Gucci's, Fila's. I got, you know, he got everything to keep you away. He got a nice little sports car. Got you a nice little sports car. Got your nice little boyfriend over here. I give you this. I give you the cares of this life. I give you all this stuff if you just bow down and worship me. And people don't understand that you don't really have to worship God. I mean, the devil, you just worship his system. Well, anyway, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, we're going to go with verse 2. It says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that. Okay, I'm just going to go to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. When I read that, I was kind of like wrestling with the fact I should just go ahead and go to the point. It says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And imagine thoughts being soldiers. Imagine thoughts being the enemy, soldiers, and everybody's fighting. Remember back in the Civil War, they used to fight face-to-face. So back before that, Alexander the Great and all those guys used to fight combat. They used to fight right in each other's face. Well, when we look at the words that are coming into our mind, it says casting down imaginations. Now, the imaginations come from the enemy. Imaginations are darts being thrown. They're thought patterns. Your wife ain't going to do this, or your husband's cheating on you, or this, or your teacher can't stand you, or this. See, he wants you to get rattled any way he can get you rattled. It doesn't necessarily have to be your wife cheating on you. It could be just somebody thinking this way about you. you know, they just can't stand you, you're a Christian, and all this stuff, look at you. I mean, or it can be accusations. You're just a no good person. You don't even, you're not even valuable. God ain't going to forgive you for nothing. Just, and it says, going back to verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. See, the imaginations are coming from up above, so they're coming as shot from the sky, or they're shot from high places, and they're shot into your mind to make you think simple thoughts. And see, we inherit these thoughts, and we say, okay, I'll take you into my mind, and you can be my little orphan thought. You'll be my little orphan child. I'm going to really take good care of you. I just love someone. I just love this thought. And then the people just love the thought to just, they like to carry anger and unforgiving people. It's just like, oh, he's going to sit you on. Don't even look at me. Don't look this way, lady. I can't stand you. Don't even look this way. People that way. People get off on being mad at somebody else. The Bible says, casting down imagination. First, you need to read the Bible first. Then you know that nobody's thinking that way of you, and God don't think that way of you, and Satan's just a liar, and he just growing around like a growing lion seeking who he may devour. He just, you know, he ain't seriously, no, I'm not going to downplay the Satan's role, because you're really getting your butt kicked, but I'm not going to upplay it either. Greater he that is in me than he is in the world. I don't need to understand that Satan's going to defeat me. He is not. And on the later show, we're going to talk about one save all you say. Because, and I can break it down to you right now, God sits on the top. If you equate the world a time as if it was a parade, God sits on the top of the parade, on the top of the very tall building, and he can see the first part of the parade, and you see the last part of the parade, and you can see in between. We can only see what we can see on the ground. Okay, with that being said, once they've already said, God knows who was his and who is not. He says, I see you hear my voice, but God also knows his people. Okay, so on our level, once they've already, we can't go up to somebody and say, oh, you always saved. And let's go up to another person and say, you wasn't. To me, and also foreknowledge, what do they call it, foreknowledge, or for the foundation of the earth, God saved me. I'm bad, I'm big and bad because God saved me. Well, his plan for salvation was enacted at that time. Why do you think Abraham shot for the, his arrows were, his target was the Messiah, the promised land, the kingdom, the land that God promised him. That was he knew the Messiah would be in charge, but he knew that his seed would bring forth the promise of God. So, when people look at foreknowledge, I mean, you can't sit there and think you're big and bad. You know, I'm really, really. The whole world should be like this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, God, unless God marked us with some type of a color that we can see, maybe everybody is going to be turned red at one time. Just joking. Yeah, some of these doctrines that people come out with is just kind of, to me, ridiculous, because why would you even have to even sit up there and try to figure out, and you were in 2010, what's the difference between you and somebody who's walking around in the time of the apostles in the book of Acts? You don't know all those people. I mean, who's to say that you were, I mean, everybody was, the mission of God was, the God's plan was to send a Savior. That's all I know. And as far as being once saved, always saved, yeah, I believe this is how it works. I believe God knows the person who can truly convert it, and He'll never lose that person. Well, I'll say it again. God knows who was truly converted. Now, if you have a true relationship with God, you should know also by the promises of God that He'll never lose you. But someone who is just playing lackadaisical church and don't really care about the things of God, but sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, once saved, always saved, the word of God is important in that person's life because that person may end up saved. But it's not for us to say, oh, yeah, I think that I was you know, I'm once saved, always saved. Let me go to a club now. Now, that person ought to be ashamed of themselves, but also, well, anyway, let's go back to casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And now, let's notice that. The casting out imaginations, now imagination is the weapon that Satan's using in everything. That's another weapon that exalts itself, and the purpose is to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, every thought. So, folks, do you know according to the Word of God that you can have power to take every thought? But you have to read the Word of God so you know, because it's really easy. Now, this ain't easy. I'm not saying that this thing battle, once you get into this battle, it's not, once you figure this out, it's not easy. But what I'm saying is some of the thoughts that Satan sends to us are just normal thoughts. They're not biblical. But the Bible is anti-Bible because it says, okay, I'm a worthless piece of trash. That's how I think about myself. Well, the Bible does not say you're a worthless piece of trash. Okay? The Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. That we are the temple of God. That's what the Bible says. So if the Bible's saying we are the temple of the Lord, and the Bible's saying we are the temple of God, then we are some of great value. We are to God. He loves us. But if it says something about your wife, now you know that God said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. If it's saying something about, you know, do this or do that, you know that if you read the Word of God, don't let the preacher tell you what's about. Do not neglect your salvation. Do not let somebody else tell you. You're going to know. And people, I can sit up here right now and tell y'all that I'm begging y'all out there to really think about people who are living next to you, and people who are across town in your neighborhood, and in your community and in your city, that you can affect before they enter eternity. Because what we as Christians, the church does not even know to think about this. I don't think it has resonated in the church that hell is eternal. We don't have any breaks. When I was over there overseas and we were putting up the pipeline, or even the second time I was overseas, we got breaks. Take a break. Everybody eat your MREs, you know, get out of the sun. I mean, and I would look, because I was saved over there, and I, the first time I went over there, I kind of, you know, wasn't saved the second time, but I would look at the people, and I would look at how, these are young kids, and they're very, you know, very sort of not understanding the value of freedom, the value of, even if they're fighting, they still don't understand how to respect your neighbor and all this other stuff. They got some form of, you know, a little bit of. But anyway, I was watching these people, and I didn't even know I was looking at them for this purpose. But I was looking at them as far as just how they would accept it's taking me a while to get to it because my son is upstairs waiting out again. But looking at these people and how, looking at these young soldiers, my partners in the war, on how they would accept the fact that they can get breaks, and how, you know, and I would tell them, I say, do y'all know if we go to hell, we can't get a break? You know, and for some people might come into me and say, well, why would you tell them like that? Why can't you just tell them with love? And, well, maybe all the love God is, that's why a lot of people are like they are now, because they figured out that, well, God loves us enough, let me go do what I got to do, and then later on, which is fine, anything is fine to get to heaven, but the thing is, don't trick yourself, because what if you die in the process of trying to figure that out? You know, God has been gracious to me for being 4 or 5 car wrecks, and a lot of them involving drinking and driving. And now, you know, God has saved me for the purpose of of sheer purpose of giving that word out and being grateful that I'm still alive. I can breathe the fresh air. You know, I'm sitting out on my back porch right now, so if anybody on the call line, I apologize. I'll get that call in a minute. Stay on there for a second. 269, I'll get you in a minute. But God is really good and gracious. I'm sorry to have you sit there that long, too, by the way. I was just kind of freaked out. If you listen to some of my past shows, you'll find out that I've had the baddest luck with callers, and now I got my finger on the trigger, and I'm just turn it off as soon as they say something. You can always tell when somebody's going to say something. But when I first started the ministry, this radio program about a year ago, I used to have this one person, this one lady call in, and I could never catch her because she would say it so smooth. And I had a couple of people call her Smooth Joes. They would be like, blah, 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 blah. Then they'd say something, just foul. This lady used to call in. This is how I knew you. This is how you know you're doing God's will. This lady sits up at 12 o'clock. 11 o'clock, I'm pretty sure my the first ministry she tried to get to. And I don't know if she's still doing it, but this lady gets super drunk. And she comes in and she just says some of the foulest stuff. And I have enough, and I've heard more foul stuff talked about just recently. I've had, you know, back in like February, I've had somebody really say some bogus stuff on the, and write some stuff in the chat room that was just like terrible. So we had to keep an eye on all that stuff. I need a part. I'm gonna have to get my partner involved to screen calls or something, so we can start taking calls again. Because even if you screen calls, it doesn't stop the person from saying anything anyway. But God is merciful. God is graceful. God is saving. He is very much saving people across the world. And we are on our last call. I do believe that we are in the last month of time, last month of history. I believe the clock is on, and Jesus Christ is going to come back and take his church out. Are you ready? I have a ministry here at the bottom of my page. You're going to see a box. If you go all the way down before you get to the videos, you see another Blog Talk Radio box. Well, I have another radio program. I have two shows on there that y'all might be interested in. Two pretty good shows. I did an interview with Brother Cannon from Next Books, and we talked about being rapture ready. So you can go to my page and look at the bottom of my screen on my page, and you'll notice that you can go in and holler and listen to us. So I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, God is good, and I'm just so thankful that we have a Savior like we do. Caller?
Hello?
Caller? Hey, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Brother Phil?
Yeah, how you doing?
I've been listening the whole time, Brother Phil. You've been on fire with this sermon, brother. Holy Spirit anointed you tonight. It was awesome.
Amen, amen. Amen. What's your name?
This is Brother Mike Parker in Michigan.
Oh, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on?
Oh, man. Nothing much. I've been looking forward to getting you back on the show. I noticed that you had you had some things that went on, so you had to take a little break. But I'm glad to hear you.
Had to take a little break. Yeah, it was some personal issues in my life with my youngest daughter, and unfortunately, Satan has been attacking. He's been attacking in every way, shape, and form with that, but. And then needed to spend some time with the family and take a short break. But of course, I've been doing as much research as possible. And boy, that the sermon you just gave, unbelievable. You know, let's back it up with some more Bible verses. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." He also continued to tell his disciples that a good tree will bear good fruit, and a bad tree will bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So by their fruit you shall know them. You were speaking in Hebrews earlier tonight also when I was listening to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, no one will see the Lord without holiness. And holiness is being separate from the world, just like what you were saying. Being separate from the world and coming out from among them and don't do what the world does. You made a comment about being saved and then the guy goes out. Somebody maybe just decided to go out and go to the club. It ain't for us to pass judgment on that person. But I'll tell you what. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he was telling them how you'll know them by their fruit, it may not be judgment by in our pathway and our passage back and forth to that person. We may we're told by our Savior not to judge the lost, but if you go through the whole New Testament with Paul, he called out Peter. Peter was rubbing elbows with the Jews and also the Gentiles, and he was rubbing elbows with the Jews and talking about and believing and agreeing with them on their traditions. And then he'd go over to the Gentiles and talk with the Gentiles and tell them about the blood of Christ and how to be saved. And Paul called him out. He said, look, you can't do this. You can't teach these people this way and agree with these people this way and then go back over here and agree with them this way. You got to be sold out for Christ. Yep. You go to Luke chapter 16. Verse 31, where Father Abraham was talking to the rich man who was in hell, and he wanted Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and to cool his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. And when Jesus said there was a certain rich man in verse 1, he meant that. He wasn't telling a story. He meant that literally. The rich man was in hell. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. The great gulf was between the two of them. And at the end of that parable in verse 31, the rich man wanted Father Abraham to send him. He said, go, if you can't send somebody here to cool my tongue, then send somebody from the dead and go to my father's house and tell my mother and my brothers and my sisters, tell them all about this place, that for I'm tormented here. Father Abraham said, you know what, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe anyone who's being sent from the dead also. Even if they were raised from the dead, they won't believe. That's where, as you were saying tonight, that's where we're at in today's in the Christianity of today. We got so many people that just don't, they speak it with their tongue, they give lip service to Jesus, but they don't walk the walk.
Yes.
You made that comment. If it quacks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah.
Well, if they go to church every Sunday, they sit in a pew, and they hear the preaching, and they don't go out and do anything about it, guess what?
Yeah.
They're probably a duck.
Yeah.
So praise God for your sermon, brother. I got on fire. I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work, but I was not gonna turn the phone off. I was gonna listen to the word you had to say.
Now, man, I'm gonna go ahead and write some of you guys' numbers down, so if I see a number there, maybe I can just look on the board and say, oh, okay, that's Michael Parker. That's Evangelist Michael Parker. But thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. That was just awesome. I'd like to get you back on as soon as you come back up, because we might have you never know. Time is it's kind of weird right now because it's kind of calm. And it could be the calm before the storm. So.
I think you're right.
But God bless you. Thank you so much, brother. Praise God.
All right, brother Phil. You keep on preaching, brother, and may the Lord bless you. I'm going to hit the hay and go to work tomorrow morning. And
all right. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think one once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Saddest habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. We are going to quickly discuss the things that are happening right now in the world pertaining to Bible prophecy. The evidently the cap has been temporarily cut off. I haven't turned on my TV or checked any of my websites with the news. It appears that it's been capped off for right now, but like some of the intel that we're getting, we have intel coming in from various point of views of points of contact, saying that the well pressure is just too high to cover, and then also talking about a chance of the well being more than just in the area that's showing you on the cameras. They're actually showing you leaks, a leak, not many leaks, which it could be many leaks that are there on the bed of the Gulf. So we have to really watch that. There are people who are calling in the media that we are in a depression rather than a recession. We've been in the depression for like 3 years. They've called the recession late, and then they're going to end up calling the depression late. This is the third depression. There are various entities out there said that we're in a depression. If we're not in a depression now, we'd be in one in a few weeks. So button up your hatches and hold on to your seatbelt and make sure you are right with God. There is a thing in our ministry that we believe is that the longer God takes, and I'm a fall feast type of person, so I believe that the Pandora, the tribulation period, will begin in the fall of whatever year that it begins in. And I'll say it again, when the tribulation period begins, it will be in the fall. But the evidence will be in the spring and in the summer. There'd be a lot of things taking place that whatever year it is, things will take place and transpire that summer going into the fall. So it is like a cycle. And when the tribulation period begins and the Antichrist signs a peace deal, if you were able to go back a few months earlier, it would have looked similar to the one we have now. And so July 19th is a day that we need to look at, and afterwards is our days we need to look at. Are we in the last year before the tribulation? Are we in the year of the tribulation period starting? If you check below my on my page, and you go down, scroll down on my page, you're going to see a little box. It's called Midnight Zone. It's part of the process and all. Just the interview I did with Dan Mattson was saying that the tribulation period had a possibility of starting. Actually, he believed that the tribulation period could start this year. And also, if you go and listen to various interviews, even ex-president Fidel Castro says that the possibility of World War III starting, but he also called it wrong before. But I think he may have it right now. And also Gerald Celente and Bob Chapman and Leslie Tarpley and Ron Paul and all these guys. And then you have presidents and kings who are calling for World War III that has a possibility of happening very soon. And we must look at this in great light, because Jesus is coming soon for his church to take his people out. And don't be a weight for your spouse. Do not be a weight for your spouse. I repeat, do not be a weight for your spouse. If your spouse is trying to preach the word of God, get out of the way. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't live and, you know, listen to your spouse. If they're telling you that Jesus is coming back soon, don't laugh at them. Because if you remember, Noah went into the ark before Noah went into the ark. He preached the gospel for 120 years. And those 120 years, I'm pretty sure people were laughing at him as he went on to the ark and the door was shut. So we have to look at that also. The economy of the United States may fall. We also need to think about people that are not saved, not right with God, who's listening to this archive. There's going to come a time, hopefully you listened to this before the rapture of the church, but your kids, if they're under the age of accountability, will not be here. There are people who believe that there is no rapture, and to me it's part of tie-in with 2 Peter chapter 3, calling them scoffers. And it's and you can tell a book by its cover by the way they've been acting lately. Most people who believe that there is no rapture act vicious. They're very vicious with trying to prove their point. Well, the people who believe that there is a rapture is very loving, very kind, very patient with those who are tearing us apart, calling us heretics. I wouldn't be out there trying to call people heretics, because you might end up getting the tribulation period. And I don't know how God is comparing, because he said if you take something out or put something in my book of Revelations, you will receive the same plagues. There's some people right now breaking open the bowls and the trumpets and without breaking up from the first seal. Now, what did John say? He says, I cannot find anybody to break the first seal. And if you break the first seal, that means you can break the rest of the seals, and the seventh seal opens up the first trump, and the seventh trump opens up the first bowl. So it's impossible to open up any of those seals or trumpets or bowls without opening up the first seal. And Jesus is the only one who can open up the first seal. So when people say that, you know, there is no rapture, or, you know, we're already in the seventh trump and stuff like that, well, you're doing Jesus' job for him. You might get what you need to get. And people, you know, I pray that, you know, I'm wrong, that, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing, and I like to say that. I don't have any problem saying that there's something I'm missing, but I'm having a fearful thought that maybe we need to be careful, and I'm not going to say too much more on this issue, that they can receive the tribulation period because they're saying that there is no resurrection. And when you mess with the death, burial, and resurrection, people are calling the rapture of the church a secondary issue. Is it really secondary or is it first? Because it's covering the death, burial, and resurrection. Right? I mean, that means it could be a first issue instead of a secondary issue. So we have to look at that very closely. At that. Now, there is a chatter among the Bilderbergers, information of intel about the Bilderbergers that they have given the approval for an Iran strike, which when they give their approval, that means it's pretty close. That means it's now. Also, their evacuation plans for the Gulf, which even if they cap that thing off, that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth, and that does not mean we're seeing the truth. It could be, but I don't know. I'm getting kind of tired of it myself. I'm getting kind of very tired of it. But when we see thousands of people being evacuated and having to move further north, that's sad. Now, the United States is not in Bible prophecy. And it also looks like Europe is meant to collapse. So I'm thinking that the Mediterranean Union that Nicolas Sarkozy put out last year was probably the union that will rise up and take its seat, and the Antichrist will soon follow and take over the probably the Middle East section of the Roman Empire. Now, people are seeming to leave out the fact that the Roman Empire encompassed Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And if they remember that, they won't have to worry about the European Union being that beast rising up out of the sea by itself. It has to have, there has to be five of them, because remember, Daniel chapter 2, the statue has 2 feet, five toes on one end and five toes on the other foot. So this amalgamation of nations will be divided into two five-region zones. So the possibility of this, and if you got a chance, go on to Google and look up Nicolae Sarkozy, Mediterranean Union, and you can learn a lot about this empire that is going to be rising up in the not too distant future. And yes, the church will be gone. And yes, if you get a chance to watch Stephen tonight, watch it. If you get a chance to watch Left Behind, watch it, because Stephen tonight is last gen, is like the earlier generation, and Left Behind is a newer generation. But I do believe that those movies have a great message to put out. And the thing about the guys from Left Behind, they're not trying to, they aren't even enough money off that. They're not trying to, they're still preaching the gospel from what I know, because when I listen to those guys, they sound like they're very much still saved, even though they got the money. I don't know what they do with their money, but the Bible says, how hard is it for a rich man to get into the heaven? Now, if your heart is right, he says, with the heart, anything is possible. So hopefully their heart is right, and they will be in rapture just as quick as we will. I would love for the people who don't believe that there is a rapture to be raptured, because that would be just amazing for them to just be sitting there 1 minute and looking at Christ the next. Oh, well, there is a rapture. Wow, okay. And then we can forgive them and move on to eternity, which would be a great thing. But yes, I do believe that on July 19th, onward is a time where the world will start to change, We can't really call it 100%. We just don't know. It could be a little bit later. But I do have a feeling that this year is the year of many changes. But God bless everybody out there. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you.